Good morning. It's lovely to be back. We had the most fantastic holiday, thanks to our daughters, in Fiji, and the best thing was that they were all there as well. That was just amazing. But it's lovely to be back home. And I'm reading today from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck.
Thank you, Marg. Well, we're starting a new series today on Proverbs, probably one of the most practical and relevant book in the Bible for us today in terms of how to live your life. When we were in Fiji, as Mark just talked about, it was quite amazing, but I was reminded, because I'd been there before with mission teams, and you don't sit under a coconut tree. There's no law in Fiji that says you are not to sit under a coconut tree or you'll be fined or thrown in prison or whatever. But you just don't sit under a coconut tree, especially when the coconuts are really big and ripe and ready to drop. It's foolish. Wisdom is part of life. You learn wisdom. You learn what is not just right or wrong to do, but what is wise or what is foolish. When we went to, on our way home, we flew up almost due north to Hawaii and had a couple of nights there. And we went to the beach at Waikiki, and there's a part of the beach where there's some palm trees or coconut trees that go out into the sand. And so we sat in the shade of the coconut tree, but they'd removed all the coconuts, probably because of litigation, but anyway. The book of Proverbs is basically a book about wisdom, about living a wise life, about wise living, and the themes through the whole book we're going to pick up on. There's a whole lot of themes like parenting, words, friendship, work and wealth and other themes like that. So it's going to be very practical and very life related. But today is more of an introduction to the book, because it's really important to understand the kind of book it is and why we need to look at it in this way. Somebody has termed a proverb a portable lesson for our time. Portable because it's just short and brief. You can memorize it and take it with you through your day. It can be very helpful for you in life. So the book of Proverbs is a compilation of very short, pithy sayings, memorable sound bites, as someone has said. And we need to understand the book of Proverbs and the place it has in Scripture, because it's different from other books in the Bible. When you read the book of Genesis or the book of Matthew, or you read through the book of Romans, you can read it through in one sitting and it's a story or it's a logical argument and so on. But with the book of Proverbs, it is just full of individual proverbs that are like sound bites, and it's not meant to be read through. It's meant to be, you take one of those proverbs and think about it and meditate on it and apply it to your life. Sometimes they're in a riddle form, as one of those verses there, verse 6 says, a riddle. So you think about it and you wonder, what is he really saying here? It's meant to engage your mind. The genre of the book is very important. Who likes music? There's genres in music. Now, some people like classical music. That's a genre all on its own. It's a kind, it's a style of music. Some people like jazz. Who likes jazz? I like light jazz. Who likes heavy rock? Then there's contemporary or more traditional Christian music. There's country music. You name it. They're all different genres. They're different kinds of music styles. So it is with the books in the Bible. There are different genres. You have the normal narrative of a story of Abraham and his sons and all that happened in their lives, and then you have poetry like the Book of Psalms. You have Bible teaching and logical arguments that Paul writes to the churches. You have letters and so on. You have apocalyptic literature that is different again. It's a different genre. Well, you have what's called wisdom literature. And the primary book of wisdom literature is this book, Proverbs. Also Ecclesiastes and Psalm 1 and one or two other psalms are actually wisdom literature. And what it is it's the observations of sages. Back then, a wise sage was a man who had great wisdom and was highly respected. In fact, back at that time, it was called the era of wisdom culture. And the people to whom you looked as, in society, the people who are right up there, that you respected and honored, were the sages, were the wise men. And so these men and women put together writings that encapsulated wisdom for the day, and it's like an observation. So they looked at life, they looked at how things worked out when people did that, when people didn't do that, and they put it in little pithy sayings. So the wise man observes the created order, observes human behavior, and with divine inspiration by the Spirit of God and insight given by God, writes down these words. Just as scientists observe in the natural order and in the physical realm and decides how things work, so it is that the sage looks at life and how we live it, and writes down the same. It's practical, very practical, not theoretical. It's not some theory of philosophy. It is extremely practical. And an example of how a wise man would come up with a proverb by observing is found in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 to 34. And it'll be on your screen. And he tells the story of how he came up with this proverb. He says, I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. And here's his proverb. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit. Isn't that good? And that is the whole idea of the book of Proverbs. That these proverbs, that's just one that tells you the story of how it came about. But all of them had that kind of story. Train up a child in the way it shall go, and in the end it will not, or he or she will not depart from it. That's an observation. As I look at life and say, when people bring up their children in a certain way, they normally end up that way. It's not a promise. It's an observation. That's my next point. It's an observation, not a promise. In chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we read these words. It says, let me find it, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now, if you take that as a promise, so, well, I'm going to honor the Lord, I'm going to give back to God all my money, then he's promised to bless me and fill my barns, to use the terminology they used back then. But it's not a promise. It's an observation. The people who are generous normally prosper. God blesses them because they're generous. But it's not a promise. The value of the book is that, first of all, it's an aid to memory. It provokes thought and meditation, and it's intended not to be read, but to be meditated on. It examines the human behavior from the basis of what is wise and what is foolish. And it actually talks about pathways. So the pathway of the wise and the pathway of the fool. And so even when you come to the verse that's so well known in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, who can quote it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. He will keep you on a wise pathway if you think of that in the context of the book of Proverbs, where it is. So the rest of Scripture commands. It says, you shall not covet, you shall not steal. But in the book of Proverbs, there's no command what to do and what not to do. Rather, it commends God's way as the wise way. So, when you steal, you're a fool. When you live a life of integrity, you're a wise person. So what is condemned or encouraged elsewhere in Scripture is presented in a way that is then shown to be wise or foolish. So the one basic proposition, presupposition in this book is that righteousness and wisdom are identical. They're synonymous. So if you live God's way, you're actually doing the best thing for yourself. It's the wisest way to live. And that's a really important concept to grasp and to apply to our lives, isn't it? The Bible says that the law of the Lord is good. And that means that it's good for you. It means that it's the best way to live your life is to follow God's way. And so that basically is what the book of Proverbs is about. So although it doesn't deal with commandments, it deals with the very moral issues that we face that are elsewhere in Scripture as law, but here are presented as a wise or a foolish way to live accordingly. Traffic laws are for our good, aren't they? Imagine travelling down West Main Street here at 120 miles an hour. You're a fool if you do, because either you'll hurt yourself, you'll certainly hurt somebody else very likely. You're a fool if you do that. It's not wise to break the rules. The rules of the law of the land, the traffic regulations are there for our good, for the community's good. And so it's a similar concept. The structure of the book, if you look at the first seven verses, you've got the introduction. Then you've got, for the next nine chapters, the whole right up to the end of chapter 9 is really incentives, why we should seek wisdom. And there's a lot of motivation in there to listen to what our mother or father says as spoken to younger ones, and why we should pursue wisdom. And it gives a lot of info in there about that, incentives to pursue wisdom. Then you come from chapter 10 to 22, chapter 22, are all the Proverbs of Solomon. And then you have the Proverbs of various sages, which includes Solomon, but other sages. In fact, some are taken straight out of Egypt. In old ancient hieroglyphics, they've found exactly the same Proverbs in Egypt. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That Scripture recognizes that when truth is truth, when something is wise, then it doesn't matter where it comes from, it's just wise. Right, and the purpose of the book is, first of all, to develop mental wisdom. The word wisdom in the Bible is chokmah, it means skill. Now, there's a lot of skilled people here. People who have been skilled at teaching, skilled at building or repairing, skilled at working in various either trades or professions. And your skill is your ability to do it and do it well. And so the idea of skill in the Bible is just that. This technical skill. When they built the tabernacle, way back in Exodus chapter 35, we read, every wise, yeah, that's the same word, but skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill or wisdom and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary. So the word with exactly the same word that is used there, the skill, the wisdom to build the sanctuary. It talks of judicial skill and administrative skill, but also social skill. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about, how to live with others in your family, in your community, and how to develop social skills so that you are really good at living. Right? So it really is a good book. I know this is a lot of nuts and bolts this morning. It's like introducing the book, and it's important that I do that. But let's look at the book in that way, that God has put this book in our Bible for us to be able to live the best we can. He wants us to enjoy our lives. And although we know the spiritual side of things, we have the Spirit of God, we have the Word of God, and we have all that God has resourced us with, He wants us to learn wisdom, skill for living. In the first section, the introduction, you have verses 2 to 6, you have a number of words that are used that are synonymous with wisdom. And when you go through the whole of the book of Proverbs, you'll find that these words are used interchangeably. So that when one minute he's talking about wisdom, next minute he's talking about knowledge, next minute he's talking about discernment, and then he's talking about prudence and guidance and learning. So all of these words are synonymous. In fact, sometimes in one verse, in chapter 8, we find these are all put together in one passage where it says, wisdom dwells together with prudence. I, wisdom, possess knowledge and discretion. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. So it's showing that these words are all used. So when you read the book of Proverbs and you read about insight or knowledge, he's really talking about the same thing. Wisdom. Skill for living. And some of these are listed here in the first seven verses. Understanding. Remember Solomon, who wrote the majority of this book, remember his request from God? God offered him whatever he wanted. And what did he ask for? It says in 1 Kings 3:9, he said, give your servant a discerning, a wise heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And God gave it to him. In fact, he was already wise to ask that question, to answer that way, make that request. So that's understanding, to see things as God sees things, and to make wise and right choices in life. The second word is prudence. When we look at prudence, it's to do with subtlety. Remember, Jesus said to be harmless as doves, but he said also to be wise as serpents. To be wise, a crafty like a serpent. Take away any evil or maliciousness out of that and just leave it as a crafty person, like a person who is very able to, or prudent or subtle, is able to discern and make wise decisions because they're also harmless as doves. So Jesus called us to do just that. Personal experience is a hard teacher. And so Solomon writing these words, he writes it, he says here, prudence to the simple. And the word simple there doesn't mean a simpleton. We use the word simple different to the way it was used back then. The idea of simple back then is inexperienced youth. Not worldly wise, you know, hasn't really engaged much with the world and doesn't understand all the pitfalls and all the problems and likelihoods of danger and so on. And so because of being inexperienced, the word is used simple. And so when we read the word simple, remember that that's talking about someone who's susceptible to influence, who's not worldly wise, inexperienced. And so he says to those ones, you need to learn prudence. You need to develop the craft and subtlety and ability like a serpent, but still be harmless as a dove. And thirdly, knowledge. Knowledge in the Bible is always linked to experience. It has that idea that if you go back to when Adam knew Eve, it's talking about experience, not just knowing in the brain. So there's all sorts of ways that word knowledge is used, but here it is linked with and is a synonym for wisdom. So gaining knowledge through experience. I come from Australia, where you never have ice on the roads. I shouldn't say that, because if you get up in the mountain areas, you do. But in the average place, you never have the problem of having to drive on an icy road. But here you do. And learning from experience, driving up Noblesville once in the winter last year, it was sometime, and she began to move over, and I realized, you know, I'm not experienced at this. I need to be much more careful when I come to the bend on an icy road, back road it was. So you learn from experience. Now, next time I drive, when there's ice on the road, I'm much more careful because I've learned from that experience. And that is the idea here, knowledge by experience. Discretion is the next one, the ability to form plans, to make a plan that is based on the knowledge that I have. And then guidance. And the guidance word is used relating to those who are already wise. So although it talks about the simple person who's inexperienced, it also talks about those who are already wise. And it says in verse 5, let the wise listen and add to their learning. We never ever come to an end of learning from God the wisdom of living. That is mental wisdom. To develop, the purpose of the book is to develop mental wisdom, but it's also to develop moral wisdom. And that's what we find here in highlighted in verse 3. To acquire a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair. And you'll find right through the book a linkage between wise living and morality. Wise living and righteousness. They are linked together. So God calls us to, first of all, to do what is right. That is before God. And then he says, just and fair. That's to my neighbors and peers. To do what is right and just and fair. The primary key of the book is found in verse 7. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, beginning, we think it's the start. After you get that, then everything follows after that. But it's not the start. The word really means foundation. So it's like clefs and keys and tones and semitones and all that stuff is the foundation for music. numbers are the foundation for math, and words are the foundation for, or letters in the alphabet are the foundation for writing or for speaking. So it is foundational. So if you want to have a wise life, it's got to be based on fear of the Lord. And it's key. Now, fear of the Lord is different from fear of God. In the Bible, the fear of God is about everybody in the whole world should have some fear of God. And in fact, the Bible says about people who are not Christians, they have no fear of God before their eyes. They just live their life, they do what they want to do, and they don't care about God's judgment or anything like that. They have no fear of God. But that's not what this is talking about. The fear of the Lord speaks of His relationship with His people, and it's always related to God's people. The fear of the Lord is another way, it's a flip side of saying God, love for God and respect for Him. So if I love God and I have a fear that I might hurt Him, not so much that He might hurt me, that I honor the Lord, that I love the Lord, that I seek to please the Lord. If my life is focused on living to please God, then I will have the foundation for a wise life. And if we take anything away from the sermon today, please take that. That if I get that foundation right, I can trust God and move into the next week and the next month and the next year and my whole life ahead based on fear of God, of the Lord. My respect and love for Him, my seeking to please Him. And of course the word here is knowledge, but elsewhere in the book of Proverbs you have the same verse repeated. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge here, but the beginning of wisdom there. As I say, the word knowledge and wisdom are synonymous. But then he goes on to say, and I want to finish with this, the source of foolish living is contempt for God's way. And he says a lot about the fool, and we'll come to looking at the fool one day in the future. Not next week, because we're doing Mother's Day, so I'll put it off to the following week probably. We will look at that in the future, but fools, as contrasted to the wise, despise wisdom and discipline. When a person grows up and doesn't take advice, but when a person is older and doesn't take advice, it's the same principle. When people won't listen, they're fools. Just reminded of Marg saying, this is the way to go. And I said, just kept driving. You know, this is the way. I'm sure it's the way. I just kept driving. I wouldn't listen. And she was right. Then what do I do? How do I turn around? I have to humble myself and say, but in life, you know, we can so easily have that stance that we don't take advice. And we won't listen, especially to God and His Word. So to despise is to hold as insignificant other people or God Himself through His Word giving us direction. It's really contempt for what others might suggest is the right way to go or live. And as a child grows up in a home, that is something to try and inculcate into a child to accept advice, to learn, to be willing to be taught, to be teachable. So let's read that verse again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning or the foundation of knowledge or wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We'll come to more of that in the future, but let's just remember to fear the Lord, to love Him, to respect Him, to live our lives, to honor Him, and lay that as a foundation for the decisions we make, and trust Him for the wisdom to do that. Let's sing our final song and then the benediction.